in this global
place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Gene, how you doing, man?
All right, how you doing, Will?
Doing good, man. Give me one sec to finish this. All right, dude. We're going to finish up the last remaining piece of a text message. All right, guys. Get into the show. What's going on during the week of sports? It's been sort of kind of light. We're going through the light season. NBA draft is over. The bulk of the NBA free agency is over. Very light stuff. We do have the Major League Baseball All-Star game coming up. We got a snub or two there. We got some type of controversy going down in San Antonio. You got Tony Parker gone. You got his backup gone. Signing a 4-year, $37.2 million deal with the Grizzlies and Kyle Anderson. I don't know what's going down with the Spurs. The Spurs, for the longest time, has been the most model franchise that you can think of. And all of a sudden, Kawhi's not acting right. Tony Parker's gone. Kyle Anderson is gone. I don't know what's going on down there in Spurs land. We're going to talk to Gene more to see if he can shed some light on that. We also got CP3, LeBron James, officially signing their deals. We got CP3 re-signing with the Houston Rockets. We got LeBron signing up with the LA Lakers. Carmelo Anthony has also been in the news. Melo will be leaving OKC sometime before the summer. So where do you think he will end up? The rumor is, and Gene, I don't know if you've heard different, the rumor is Melo may be down in Houston.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit more than a rumor now. I think it's official that he's probably gonna leave, and I think, you know, they were talking on Get Up this morning, and then obviously Shannon and Skip was talking about it, and you know, everything is being referenced to him signing that, opting into his contract, and then it kind of put them in a bad position as far as luxury tax.
Mm-hmm.
So I think at this point, they're looking at, I think OKC's looking at production versus the amount of money that we're going to spend on this guy. And he made it quite clear, Carmelo did, that it was about the money. And I think at this point, you know, they're like, wait a minute, hold on. We can get probably 3 bona fide players in here if we can let this guy go. But it seems to me every time he leaves somewhere, whether it was Denver, whether it was New York, he's the only guy that I know that can't leave a team without them trying to get rid of him to get something. They just don't let him leave.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to probably try to work something to where they at least try to get something for him. And then I think the destination that he was talking about, it was 3 teams. I think it was Miami, the Lakers, and what was the other team? It was one more team, but those were his 3 destinations that he could possibly go and fit into their salary cap. When they say Lakers, we already thinking, Will, it's because LeBron. He wants to play with him. Is one of his buddies. But when we think in Miami, I'm thinking, like, is that a good fit?
Right.
I mean, I don't think they need a Carmelo Anthony there. I don't even think they need him with the Lakers, but it makes more sense if he goes that route. But like I said, he just I think Carmelo's at his window's closing quite fast, and we're not getting a lot out of him. He's turned into a spot up jump shooter. I've always said Carmelo was the best one dribble pull up shooter in the NBA, and I still hold true to that. I just don't think he does anything else for the game.
Right. Doesn't really go out and play defense, doesn't really run the floor, doesn't really. He can rebound somewhat. But
yeah, he's going to rebound here and there. Mm-hmm. And he'll go to the post. You know, he does a few things. I think he just doesn't light it up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know if this situation is just like I said, I think you're looking at their front office, and I'm only assuming that they're looking at his efficiency and his production compared to the amount of money that he's about to get, if it's worth him kicking them in this spot in this luxury tax. I'm thinking like, hey, this might not be worth it. We can probably let this guy go.
I'm gonna bring up something that won't be the most popular thing to say. Can you see Melo with the Warriors?
You know what? There is room for him. I think it was Smush Parker. Wojnarowski had said something about it, that there could possibly be a way to get him to the Warriors, and it makes sense. And I think what was questioned was his availability, where he would be in that roster. And I think they were pushing more for him to be coming off the bench.
Right.
But would Carmelo accept coming off the bench?
Right.
You know, and I think that's where they threw it out there. They know it could happen, but they're thinking that's going to be an issue at that point right there, because I don't think Carmelo's going to come off the bench.
But with that team being championship ready now, I think he may accept it more there than anywhere else.
Possibly. You know, he might go there and knowing that they have a 90% chance of getting another ring, and he'll accept his role. But that's yet to be seen. I mean, do you know the Carmelo we know this far in his career? It's a little selfishness there. So I don't know if he's willing to take a back seat. But I think all the guys that they have got, biggest one was, Klay Thompson. He took the back seat and to KD, and it worked, and they got another ring, and he's got to be willing to come in with that type of mentality so they can maybe get another one.
And the reason why Melo is being so talked about, particularly when you link him with the Rockets, is because Mute, and I cannot pronounce his name to save my life, so please forgive me for butchering it.
Me neither. We in the same boat.
Luka Mamba Mute.
Yeah, Mamba Mute.
He signs with the Clippers. He signs a 1-year, $4.3 million deal with the Clippers. Going to take the place of DeAndre Jordan on that roster. So we shall see if the Rockets indeed do get Melo. With the way he is now, with Trevor Ariza gone as well, he gets his wish. He'll still be a starter. I just don't know how. Like we talked about before, I just don't know, even on the Houston roster, Rockets roster, I just don't know how effective he would be.
I don't know neither, because I'm looking at the dynamics of this team now, with Trevor Ariza being gone,
mm-hmm.
And I don't think they got Clint Capela signed back yet.
Not yet. He's still a free agent as well.
Yeah, so it's like this was a bona fide playoff team with those two guys there,
mm-hmm.
And then you take guys away and you put a younger guy there. I don't know if they'll be, and I'm talking about Houston, I don't know if they'll be the same team. I think you still get CP3 back, but will we? We talk about that all the time about his injury, and we don't know how effective he's going to be coming back. But that Houston team definitely is not going to be the same team coming into this year as it was coming out of the playoffs at all. And the Clippers, I don't even know if, how many guys are still there from 2 years ago.
Maybe like two or three might be left.
Yeah, just like two or three. So I don't know what their mission is. I don't know if they want to. I mean, I'm sure every team wants to compete and get in the playoffs and try to compete in the playoffs. But I just don't know what their motive is now. Is it add a few pieces here and we get better down the road, or are they trying to do something now to where they can be effective? But I honestly don't see the Clippers honestly being in the playoffs. And if they are, they'll probably be fighting for it.
Yep.
7th or 8th seed.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly. There was also a trade that went down. Not that it was really a blockbuster trade. There was a trade that went down too. Orlando gets Jerian Grant and Timothy Mozgov. Poor Timothy Mozgov. This is what, 13, 14?
In a year and a half?
Yeah. poor Mozgov, man.
I like Mozgov.
Yeah, me too. Me too. The Hornets get Bismack Biyombo, and the Bulls got Jalen Stone. But the thing that's so funny, he expected to be released for cap space for the Bulls. If they release him, they save about $2.6 million in cap space if they release him. So I think he's going to end up being released, which is a good thing, because the Bulls end up signing Zach LaVine. They actually matched his offer sheet from the Sacramento Kings for $78 million. Look at
that. I think when that first was reported about Zach LaVine, it was almost a done deal, I think. And then they came and, you know, matched it. And I think they matched it, but I think it was like $2 million under.
Mm-hmm.
But it was close enough for them to be able to keep him with the Bulls, you know. Here's my deal with Zach LaVine. I think he got injured, and this dude is super athletic. I think if he stays healthy, I mean, he could be a bona fide, not superstar, but he could be a star for them.
But do you think he's really worth $78 million?
No, not at all. I don't think so. That's why I said I don't know what the Bulls were actually, you know, I don't know what their motive was as far as or statement by re-signing him or matching that offer, because that's an awful lot of money for a guy that definitely has potential, but he hasn't really been able to show it. I think he hasn't done nothing. I think he was in the slam dunk contest a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, you know, he was on everybody's radar. Zach LaVine, this guy's, he's the one, and then he gets hurt. Now, we haven't heard much from him. So, I don't know if they just don't have nothing there, and they want to keep him because of his potential. But $78
million?
Nah,
man.
Not me.
The only thing that would have made me upset if they would have lost him is the fact that that's the dude that was the primary trade piece for Jimmy in that Jimmy Butler deal. And now you mean to tell me that we lost Butler and could have lost him too? And the only thing we really would have had left from that deal was Chris Dunn. And he's often hurt.
Yeah, and like I said, he's a no-show too. I mean, and he stays injured.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bulls really haven't really gotten anything. I think, you know, when they got D-Wade, when he went, and you had Rondo there, I think they were competitive. And then once you lost those guys and you lose Jimmy Butler in the same token, they're really not talking about anything. And I always liked it, their coach they had a couple years ago.
Thibodeau.
Tom Thibodeau.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted Cleveland to get him because he was one of the coaches in the league that could effectively guard LeBron James.
Right.
He could put a defense out there that would just stifle him. And he had Luol Deng there. Oh, man. But they let him go, and it seemed like once they let him go, it started falling off the rails after that.
I didn't even understand that Minnesota Timberwolves whole deal. Hey, the first thing that pissed me off about that deal was them giving up the pick. But second, you let Thibodeau go because of personality conflicts. Personality in the front, and that wasn't even front office business. It was a personality conflict between you and Garpax, Gar Foreman and John Paxson. And you let him go for that. Then you're going to trade with the man, your best player.
Exactly.
For some Cheetos, a box of Thin Mints, and a mop bucket.
And a baby roof.
No. No. I understand that at some point you had to rebuild, and I get that. I understand that point. But at the same, can you get Andrew? Could you gotten Wiggins instead of Levine or Dunn? You see what I'm saying?
It was pretty bad. It was really bad. And Minnesota actually, I thought were coming along real well, and then they acquired from Chicago.
Derrick Rose.
They get Derrick Rose. They got him. They re-sign him. Mm-hmm. No, I'm talking about Butler.
Jimmy Butler. Yeah.
And then they get Butler, and then there was a big problem. You know, Wiggins didn't have any issues his first year. He didn't mind getting traded from Cleveland and going there and being the man or whatever. They gave him plenty of time. And then that team was on the rise. You got, Karl-Anthony Towns down there, too?
Mm-hmm.
He was playing decent. And then you run Jimmy Butler down there, and now they're having all kinds of problems. So I don't know if, once again, when you can guys can play at a certain level, but will their personalities start clashing? And I think that's what happened down there. But Chicago just got screwed out the whole deal. And Minnesota was doing okay. So I don't know if that's a GM issue. You know, could it be Chicago's GM making stupid moves?
Gar Paxson, man. Gar Foreman and John Paxson, man.
Yeah,
they call them Garpack. They call them Gar. Well, I shouldn't say down there. They're up north. So I should say up there, Midwest, so to speak. That they're just making stupid decisions, and
they're making dumb decisions.
Yeah,
and I think that's why D-Wade got out of there.
And they really, oh my goodness, they had a decent draft. Getting Wendell Carter, I thought it was a decent draft. Wendell Carter was the safest you can get. I don't think he was the best pick, because I don't think anybody wanted to take a chance on Michael Porter Jr. I don't think anybody wanted to really take that chance, which is why he slipped so far.
Right.
And Denver might have a diamond in the rough if he comes back healthy, but Chicago played it very safe, and they needed another big anyway. So,
yep.
But the whole thing, you know, we're almost...
The only other center they had that had any decent experience, and they're paying him a lot of money. I think Robin Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Robin Lopez, and then they got Omer Hasek there, too. So they got two centers, but they're not bona fide. I mean, Robin Lopez probably got, like I said, a little bit more experience, but this Wendell Carter kid, I mean, he could be something special.
He could be.
Especially for them.
And the thing I like about Carter, he came in NBA ready.
Yeah.
In terms of frame.
And they paid him like it.
Yeah.
And they paid him like it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like that pick. A real solid, solid pick. I thought they might go the European route, but nope. They came up with a solid pick. And again, with the exception of a few picks here and there, the Bulls have been pretty solid in the draft.
They have. The Bulls, like I said, you know, minus...
Your McDermott's.
Yeah, your McDermott's. And then they just gave away the one kid, not Valanucius, he's in Toronto.
Mitch
or whatever that guy's name was. He's decent. I like him. I don't know why they got rid of him.
And don't forget Jordan Bell. They gave him the Golden State for cash consideration. And we get a player.
And he's a bona fide defender.
Yeah. And he could have been it.
Defender.
And he could have been it. and they gave him away for cash considerations. I hate when teams say that. Cash considerations, really, dude? We can't get a roster spot. Cash considerations.
right.
Really? Oh my goodness gracious. We talked about it at the beginning of the show. What do you think is going down in San Antonio, man? Tony Parker gone, signs a 2-year deal with the Hornets. Kyle Anderson gone. Spurs decided not to match offer sheet with the Grizzlies. What's going on? And we all know about Kawhi Leonard. What is going on with the Spurs, you think, man?
I'm thinking, once again, and I always look at everything as a body of work. I can't just be like, okay, well, they just don't want him. No, I don't think so much of that. I think this Kawhi Leonard situation has so much pressure on this team that nobody wants to deal with it. I think it's in the locker room. I think it's in the front office. Tony Parker was there, 17 years?
Yep.
And he takes off and leaves and signs a 2-year, $10 million deal. You mean to tell me that Tony Parker isn't worth more than $10 million in over 2 years? just experience alone, being the loyal person that he's been to the San Antonio Spurs. So I think the Spurs are in that position now where LeBron was with Cleveland, as he just got everybody on this little waiting list. Like they're trying to figure this out, and everybody's like, okay, should I make cap space here? Should I? The Sixers are trying to make some cap space for him. Everybody's doing the same thing, and now it's Kawhi Leonard. And I think with Greg Popovich, which I always said he's a great motivator, and he puts players in the right position to be successful. But I just think that with his wife passing not too long ago, this whole situation with Kawhi Leonard, he has no trust in the Spurs organization right now. And I think it's starting to get contagious. And I think guys are like, hey, listen, I'm not going to be around this. So I'm just going to get up out of here, and I'm going to let them hash that out when they hash it out. Because we look at San Antonio, Will, as one of the most put-together, you know, franchises in the NBA. You know, it's like, hey, they win championships. They stay in the playoffs year after year. But we finally starting to see turmoil is taking over with the Spurs.
Yes, it has. It really, really has. And I'm shocked to see it. You think it's time for Pop to go?
I think he needs to, like I said, with his wife passing, because, like I said before, LeBron signed with the Lakers. I thought that would be an ideal situation for LeBron, because he just never had a solid coach like Greg Popovich. Do I think he should take some time off? Yeah.
Yeah,
I really do.
Me too.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because I think it's just,
I think so too.
It's just everything's overwhelming, and at the end of the day, like I said, he was in the middle of the playoffs when his wife passed, so, and that took his toll. And then this whole thing with Kawhi Leonard, because he probably feels like that he's been able to reach every player that's pretty much ever played for him, and he's like, I can't even reach this kid. So he's probably rethinking some things. And yeah, I think the front office should be, you know, say to him, look, you know, let's let this pass over. Let's just take a leave, see what you want to do. And we're gonna let, because they brought in a female coach up. What's her name? They brought her up.
They did. They surely did.
Yeah, so, you know, things like that. They let her, you know, come up and let one of his assistants kind of just run some things, and maybe you should just step back for a minute and look at the whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and then I think they would probably be able to tell, Will, if is it Popovich, or is it just time? Is it just this this dynasty that we have is just finally it's over with.
Yeah.
You know, they got to figure it out.
And that's an old team too, and they're gonna have to get younger. Yep. They're gonna have to get younger at certain spots.
Yep.
I really think that they need to get younger at certain spots, and once they do that, they should be in relatively good shape. I don't know how long you'll have LaMarcus Aldridge available to you. He might get up out of there. Paul Gasol's kind of age, so he might be up out of there, but everybody else seems to be young, and hopefully they can get on the rise, and they can go from there. A few more things to get that covering that we'll get on out of here for the night. There was a report that came out today from an AFC executive. Gronk may be available via trade after his contract gets redone. Are you buying that?
Who was that again?
Gronk.
Who?
Gronk. Rob Gronkowski.
Out of New England?
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I mean, I think that's his home. I mean, Gronk is their guy. I mean, you know, as much as he, you know, stays injured, they stay loyal to him. I wouldn't see why. I don't think there's nobody else on that roster spot that could probably play the position like him. That sounds a little weird to me.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that definitely sounds a little weird.
Yeah, that was crazy, man. That was just crazy when that came up on the line. That'll probably scare every Patriots fan to death.
Oh, definitely. Especially with them being the favorite once again, coming into the the preview back to them. And I think the Eagles as being the top two teams. You know, it's a lot riding on those guys again.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about the Patriots is where I'm from, Josh McDaniels, which is the offensive coordinator for the New England Patriots, is here where I'm from.
Okay.
And there was controversy with him. Remember, he left. He signed a deal with the Colts. And then backed out of it and went back to the New England Patriots. So people really didn't like that. But I think that in their minds, they're going to give it one more shot. They're going to make one more run. And I think that's why they brought him back. And so I truly don't believe that about Gronk, because I really think they're going to make one more run. And after this year, after this season's over with, I think they're going to finally just say, hey, you know what? You go here, because they got some heavy salaries up there, too. And so we'll see.
Yeah, definitely be able to. It's going to be a weird situation. It'd be definitely a weird situation if they did let Gronk go. But maybe Bill Belichick is saying, hey, not only is Tom Brady in my sights to get rid of next so I can do things my way, but his main weapon.
Could be.
His main weapon, too, could be in Belichick's crosshairs, because, you know, Belichick, he likes to do things his own way.
Yeah, and it could be. You know, Belichick is, from what we see, is very methodical. He's not just a guy that just freestyles. He pretty much is a planner, and he prepares well, and he's always had an answer for, you know, pretty much anything that team that went through. And he's not afraid to do what needs to be done, you know, to make that team stay intact and just put out a good product.
All right, one more piece of news I want to get out there, and then we'll roll out for the night. Next week, we will be going over NFL 2018 previews of each team. I was going to do that tonight, but I got a special guest coming on, and I'll let you guys know more about that tomorrow as I get everything finalized. But I got a special guest coming in next week. It's going to help us go over the NFL for 2018. I'm going to do some predictions, see if he thinks the Eagles can repeat this year, or should we be looking at somebody else? Should we be looking at the Patriots possibly getting there and winning again? Should we be looking at the Steelers? So we'll definitely break down 2018 NFL football. It's never too early to talk football. Never ever too early to talk football. Last thing, Cardinals GM Steve Klein cited for DUI on July 4th of this year. Now, here's my question. Is the GM held to the same conduct policy as the players?
I mean, he should. He's got to be a professional. But I think overall, we're seeing a high amount of DUIs. We're seeing a high amount of assaults. We're seeing a high amount out of, you know, these professional athletes. I don't know if you know, let's take Josh Gordon for the Browns. You know, they hammered him to death. I mean, you know, now this is a GM. He's got a DUI. And I mean, you can sit here and ask and say, hey, should they suspend him from his duties? And, you know, but I don't see that happening. You know what I mean? I see it as, you know, he'll go to court. He'll probably get treatment. But he'll still be able to function as a GM. And there is a discrepancy there because I'm trying to think of any other GMs that may have had a incident that was against the conduct code. And I don't know if the conduct code is held, we know it's held against the players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but is there a fine line where there's nothing said about the front office guys, the GMs, the director of player personnel, those guys, we don't see a lot of them getting in trouble,
So it may not be. Maybe they're held more to a higher standard by the team themselves than the league.
Could be, yep.
But if you guys have any idea if the front office guys are held accountable to personal conduct, definitely let us know on the group page on Facebook under the Sports Report. And it's a story on that page I put right up there a little bit before the show started. Why the hell is Brock Lesnar giving a title fight against Daniel Cormier? Why is he giving a title? This giving a title fight. That's the best promo Brock ever cut. He ain't cut a promo like that. He ain't never cut a promo like that in WWE. Never.
And I watched the fight, okay? And I'm not a big fan of Daniel Cormier. Mm. And, you know, I think he talks too much. He's one of those type fighters that uses everything that a person does against him. You know, and he always throwing low, low shots. And I really don't care for him. I really like Stipe because Stipe's from Cleveland.
Mm.
But I like Stipe as a champion because he's a blue collar guy, you know, blue collar champion. But that whole deal with Brock Lesnar, because they showed him, you know, coming from, you know, the back of the arena, coming to the octagon, and then his guy picks up the mic. So it was a little WWE-ish in the MMA that last, Saturday. And it looked as scripted to me because they normally, that's nothing they ever do. It's never, I think it was a woman's fight. I think it was the bantamweight, Amanda Nunes. I think they let someone come into the octagon. But they normally don't do that. They normally speak their piece in the ring, and then if that other fighter's outside, he'll say something, and they let it go. But that was totally scripted. I think they're starting to take on this WWE persona. I think they're trying to mesh the two at some point. You can't script the fighting, of course, but you can script a storyline.
Right.
So I think that's what that was. And for him to automatically just, oh, you guys got to fight Brock Lesnar. This same guy that that gets knocked and busted for PEDs constantly, you know. And you got John Jones, who's done beat Cormier twice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they banned him totally out of MMA. They strip him of his, the athletic commission strips him of his fight card, the whole nine.
Yep.
And then, but they let Brock just bounce back and forth, back and forth. Now he comes back and he's automatically in it for a title shot.
Yeah.
I don't even know how they're going to do this. Because if you're a two-division champion and you simultaneously hold both belts, I mean, dude, you're not going to get a break.
I mean, technically,
you got to defend, you know, you got to defend this heavyweight title,
mm-hmm,
against the best,
mm-hmm,
against the best,
mm-hmm,
and then you got to go back to the lightweight division, and then you got to, once again, you got to defend it against the best.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a, you know, I don't know how they're going to, Dana White's going to let that play out, but
are you going to let him alternate title defenses?
Right, right. Or they do the Conor McGregor, just strip you of everything.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, so I, you know, it's one of those things. But I know they want this super fight because when John Jones beat Cormier the second time, and then then USADA popped him. I think that was the fight that they were trying to, the matchmakers were trying to put together.
Mm-hmm.
It was the whole John Jones and Brock Lesnar. That's what they wanted. They was pushing that. And then, obviously, he tested positive. He's out the picture. They give the title back to Cormier. And then Cormier defends it one time. He beats the guy. Now he fights Miocic. He knocks Miocic out. I don't know if he's the one to be fighting at the heavyweight, but they're gonna make that fight. It's gonna be a payday too.
Yeah, yeah. And then the thing I thought was kind of interesting. WWE is promoting that fight on their end.
Who is
WWE?
They're shooting a promo too
Pay attention, if you pay attention to what they're doing, they're trying to hype the fight up for Brock too. On their end of things.
Well, I think that what they're doing they're trying to cross them now. You know what I mean? When you had CM Punk, obviously. He goes over to MMA from WWE, doesn't do well at all.
Nope.
Then you have Ronda Rousey, goes from MMA to WWE, and she's a star over there.
Yep.
And now you have Brock Lesnar, who's been a part of both promotions for some time now. And it's like I said, once he gets popped for PEDs over in MMA, he goes back to wrestling. And then they come back and they put him back in protocol. So I think that they're trying to cross them at some point, but I also think that they're trying to cross boxing at the same time. Ever since the McGregor-Mayweather deal, and now they're trying to get, I think they pushed it a little bit, and they see it didn't really take off well, but I think that they're pushing this whole, crossing this WWE and MMA. And like I said, I mean, I watched the pay-per-view Saturday, and it looked as scripted, but it was along the lines of what the WWE does,
right,
as far as promoting big matches or whatnot. It was, you know, that wasn't MMA style. MMA is rugged, warrior, you know, it's not so much gimmicky, you know. And that was kind of gimmicky to me. You know, that was a big gimmick. It was like, Cormier, dude, I'm just not a big fan of him. I ain't gonna lie. I just don't like him. I don't like that guy. And I wish Miocic would have knocked him out. But Miocic kind of, he knew where he messed up at. He's not a tight fighter, and he got caught with a short shot. So he knows. And as a matter of fact, he was on his Instagram today, and he commented about he wants a rematch. He wants a rematch before they try to make this super fight with Cormier and Brock Lesnar. So, I mean, he wants back in. I mean, but it left a bad taste in his mouth, I'm sure. I mean, to go in there and get knocked out in the first round. after all the hype. But, like I said, who knows? I mean, maybe they're trying to cross it. I don't know. Dana White's always got some frivolous plans, and they got some good matchmakers, I guess. And you know how it is with WWE. It's mm-hmm. called pushing.
Right.
They push who they want. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's crazy, man. It's just crazy. And again, you referred to it earlier about the testing. And now Brock throws himself right back in the middle of that realm to where you're legitimately tested.
Yeah.
So, man. But then again, when it comes down to money, I guess you'd be willing to do anything for that amount of money that you'd be paying, that you'd be actually fighting for. Because again, this is going to be a huge payday for both guys.
Yeah, they got to get more. Because I think for that fight Saturday, I think Miocic got $750,000. I think Cormier got $500,000. So they haven't been on the scale of Conor McGregor. You know, Conor McGregor started getting Nate Diaz. I think his second fight was $3 million. You know, and the fight before that was $1 million. And then you got Demetrius Johnson, who's had 10 straight, you know, title defenses in the UFC. Mm. And he still can't crack $1 million. So, you know, it's who they want to push. And like I said, I mean, you got other fighters there in that heavyweight, not in that top five, other than Brock Lesnar, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, he didn't put on his last fight. I think he fought Mark Hunt, mm-hmm. I believe, I think it was. And, you know, he got popped for PEDs, you know?
Yep.
So, you know, so it's almost like, you know, it's Francis Ngannou, he's done. You know, you lost two in a row. But you got Curtis Blaydes there, and you got Derek Lewis there. And I think that's about it in that heavyweight division, because everybody else is pretty much done lost. Junior Dos Santos, I think he's took some L's. Mark Hunt, obviously, is getting old, you know, so I don't see him being a champion again. You know, there ain't much there in the heavyweight division, so I think that's why it makes sense to push that, you know, unless John Jones can come back some kind of way. And get into the, because he's probably younger than the top five there.
So, yeah, we have now.
You know what I mean? So, but unless he's there, but if he would go up to heavyweight, but the light heavyweight division, the heavyweight division is kind of like, it's not so good right now.
Nice.
So, you know, you don't have really nothing there. So I can see them why they're pumping that whole Brock Lesnar deal, because they need to pump up that division.
Give it some merit. All right, you guys, that's going to do it for me tonight here on the Sports Report. Like I say, light day in sports, light time in sports going on right now. Hopefully things will ramp up in a couple of weeks. Baseball playoffs will be more prevalent. We'll be looking at more NFL. Some college football will also come into light, too. So get your college teams ready. Get your pro teams ready. It's always going to be one heck of a time. Talk about the NFL. I was going to bring some fantasy sports to the show as well. We'll be doing a fantasy football league once again. This one right here. Yes. First champion Sports Report Podcast Fantasy League. Me. This guy right here. Hopefully I can repeat. Don't know if I can, but hopefully I can repeat, but I don't know. This year, things are a little bit different. There's no Carson Palmer that you can kind of like throw your hat in the ring with as maybe your second or third starter. He's gone. You got to question Big Ben if he's still a top 10 quarterback. So, you know, it's gonna be a little bit different. You don't know about David Johnson and him being healthy. One thing that killed me was Todd Gurley. I didn't trust Todd Gurley to be healthy, so I didn't pick him. And look what Todd Gurley did.
Right.
Thank damn it, man. But don't forget to follow all the fine shows on Randy and Radio. Everything continues starting tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern with the Shining Wizards, followed by the Rant at 9 p.m. with Double A and Tony C. Then we also have to follow Rant and Wrestling, Turnbuckle Throwbacks on Friday with my good friend Choppy Rebella from another Mellow Philly Phil. Then we'll be looking into the What You Reading Comic Book Show this Sunday at 5 p.m. with my buddy Surfer. Then it's this fine show, The Sports Report. We'll be back at you 11:15 p.m. Talk to Doom tonight. Doom had to go into work, so he wasn't able to call in. So we got to get Doom back here to talk about his Redskins.
That's right. Got to get him back.
I feel for Doom. I really do. I've never been a big Alex Smith fan. But and we'll talk about it more. He's in rarefied air, and we'll get into the Alex Smith ordeal next week. But he's in some rarefied air. You be kind of shocked when you hear that next week, where Alex Smith stands. You be kind of, because I was doing the research. I was shocked too. Oh my goodness.
Can't wait. Should be something huge.
So we shall see what goes on there. You can be a part of the show. We also have a special guest coming to us next week. Give me 1 second. If I can find it. I don't think I can find it though. I hit him up, and he would be from Sports Breakdown. Nicholas Wilcox will be with us from Sports Breakdown. He's going to be with us. Go over the NFL season. Yeah, and he's going to be with us. We'll discuss the NFL season, get the start of the NFL season going. Who's your college team, man?
Ohio State.
Okay. The Ohio State. Don't forget the D. You got to put the Ohio State.
The Ohio State Buckeyes.
Yeah, there you go. The Ohio State. I'm a Florida State fan. I think Doom is a Virginia fan. I don't know what school Tony C. Tony, he might be Miami. I'm not sure what Tony C. is. I know he ain't Florida State. He might be Miami. I'm not sure. I think Tony C. might be either Miami. Yeah, I think he's Miami. I think he is. We got a few other guys who are Bulldog fans. So we'll see where everything goes with them.
And I think, I think Florida State had a rough year last year.
Oh.
Had a ton of suspensions and just had a lot going on down there. So hopefully they can right the ship and be back. I mean, they're always competitive and they're always right there. So, and they get some solid players. I mean, they're getting the best athletes in the world and, because they play football year-round, warm weather guys. So I hope they can get it back right.
Well, you know, man, we lost Francois to injury playing against Alabama. And I don't blame for putting Alabama on the schedule because you got to do it at some point. Because of if you turn around and you win that game, that can boost up your program.
Okay.
And then you can't really hate for Jimbo doing that. And I hate the fact that Jimbo puts us in that spot to where we play Alabama, we lose, and then he bolts. I didn't appreciate that. But we got Taggart coming in, so we shall see what he does. And from what I understand, they already have good turnout for the spring game. And we shall see how that goes in the coming months. Like I said, college football, NFL football is right there. So definitely stay tuned for that. Gene, thank you for calling in, man. I do appreciate you as always, man.
Don't doubt about it, man. It's always good to talk to you.
And guys, please forgive all this background noise I got going on. I got my kids with me this week. And my daughter and my daughter is up here dancing, just going crazy. My son is up here playing Fortnite, and jeez, man.
I'm not crazy.
It's just a lot going on, but
there's a lot going on.
It's all good. It's all good.
I want to get the show out there, book one up. Next week, it'll just be me. So, it'll just be me. All right, guys. Gene, thank you again, man. I appreciate it. And I'll see you guys next week, 11:15 p.m. Eastern, right here on Rant AM Radio. Everybody, please take care.